beaming into your mind like a ray of cosmic revelation, smashing through the mainstream like a comet of prophecy. You are listening to Planet Vrilok. Yes, welcome to my podcast, Everything Psionics and Magic Tech, right here. And I am your host, Tom Vrilok. Well, I have a special podcast for you tonight. It's called Shadow Trek, Honoring the Honshu Spirit. So, without further ado, let us begin. Shadow. Shadow is surrounded in insurmountable superstition and mysticism all around the planet. Everybody has a thought about shadows. I mean, shadows just aren't the thing of science. They're the thing of science fiction, superstition, the supernatural. And there are good reasons for this. If it were not for the presence of light at some level, we would not even notice it. Or would we? Have we all not had that elusive feeling of being watched in the night, only to detect a sensation of a blacker specter emerging from the darkness? Yes, darkness. What could it be lurking in the dark with us unwary fleshy minds, Who knows? Why, the shadow knows. Well, that was a line from the film The Shadow that was based on an old radio show back in the 1930s. It was put together to promote a program for, I think the publisher was Street and Smith's Detective Story Magazine. Yeah, well, I digress. Yes, well, alrighty then. Yes, well, we're not afraid of shadows, are we? No, because we live without fear. That's right, we are psionicist, or at least we'd like to be. That's why you're listening to this podcast. Well, I have a story for you tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, this story is my own, and it is a story that takes us to the mystical land of Honshu, which is riddled with lush valleys, rivers teeming with koi fish, glistening prismatic rays in the land of the rising sun, and beset on all sides by misty mountains and ancient Shinto shrines, ancestral cemeteries nested deep between alcoves of rock and elder trees. Deep down, of course, under the ground, is hot springs and lava, and surrounded by the ocean, while its surface is equally crawling with life in myriad forms. Bears, rabbits, deer, birds, you name it, and a vast variety of insects and arachnoids. There are even lizards which will let out a cry, an audible cry, if stepped on by an unwary passerby. Yeah. Fish that can smoke cigars. Yeah, and there are even hidden gardens populated with miniature bridges and dwarf trees. All very beautiful. A signature of Japan, to be sure. In all of this mystical land, I wondered, most of all, how a people had managed to maintain a humble and quiet life, harmonious and safe. Children walk home after school, and after school study programs, sometimes as late as 8 or 9 p.m., all without a chaperone. Little kids around the ages of 7 to 8 years of age walk in pairs down dark alleys, twist and turns through town and country without a worry or any shadow to fear. How had I happened to come to this land? I now retrospect and contemplate that which is hidden and invisible, which led me to find my path to a spiritual journey overseas and into a new dimension of possibilities. It began with my own childhood, to be sure. I had visited Japan with my parents. I was 7 years of age. we toured the toy shops, tea houses, and shrines in Tokyo and other parts of the country. What stayed with me the most from this first exposure to Japan in early 1980 was the civility, consideration, and politeness of a people. Yes, the people that we encountered, the hospitality of the service people, even the police, were friendly, thoughtful, and assistive. These are things which one can take home and reflect on. These are things that stay with you. It's a very good first impression. And wonder we will how it is that society can reach this pinnacle of harmoniousness. Surely, certainly, there is something spiritual or invisible which binds these fascinating people, this culture. I wondered for many years as I grew up what the power of the Japanese people could possibly be. I wanted to understand so that I could learn and perhaps adopt some of their principles. Well, during my teen years, I began learning about something called psionics. That is, the ability of the mind to interface with machines via psychic practices and the time-honored art of meditation. During that time in learning psionics, I began receiving dreams and visions. At one point, I was visited upon by my very own shadow. And this is where you need to pay attention to this story here. Yes, is shadow really something to be afraid of? Is it the boogeyman? Or are these angels in disguise? Well, as my story goes, a great shadowy being, a disembodied mind, came to me. This great spirit hefted my astral body high up into the nighttime sky, and we flew above the clouds and up into the stars. At length, our trek in the night brought my astral form down to a country of islands, and we hovered over a city. I drifted gently down over rooftops and beheld a spectacle. I saw in an alley where two lines of children were walking in uniforms. These children had little yellow backpacks, which resembled the type of packs that astronauts wore, and their uniforms were of matching shorts, blue jackets, and then these cute little caps. I floated nearer to the children, perplexed that there they were, walking alone without their parents. They did not have any older children with them, and the alley looked to me a perfect place for a stalker to be hiding in. But these children, I felt, were safe. Two of the children looked in my direction, in the direction of my mind, my astral form, and I took note of their faces as if they were somehow familiar to me. My vision shifted then upward, and I beheld the rooftop of what appeared to be a temple of some kind, and of which was outlined in moonbeams shining from the sky. At that point, I rose up into the starry sky. Yes, I flew back up into the sky, as if the scene itself before me was falling away from my vision, and I returned to my body, which slumped on the bed. I remember the return to my body rather vividly. I woke up in bed, with my head somehow hung backwards over the edge of the mattress, and I was in a kind of paralysis state, which meant that I couldn't move. I also remember some sensation, as if my neck felt like a rubber chicken. And there were these sounds like static or crackling electricity all around me, and amplified was the sound of my own snoring body. Yes. You know, that's something to hear yourself snore. I can't really describe that eerie feeling, but it is kind of spooky the first time. You get used to it, you know, after a certain number of out-of-body experiences, but it is kind of an eerie sensation or experience. Once back in my body, I found myself wondering if the experience I just had was real or rather an elaborate dream. But a good number of years passed before this vision of the future actually came to be. You see, I was in my late 20s when I was given an opportunity to go and live in Japan in the center of a Buddhist community. Well, how do you like that? I was always interested in Buddhism, and this is significant for many reasons. But as I said, I had an interest in Buddhism for many years, and so this opportunity was a real blessing in my life. My wife and I explored Shinto shrines and cemeteries hidden high up on misty mountains and in valleys. Also, we had a favorite river that we liked to walk along, where we could see wild koi swimming and the occasional deer leaping out from hidden enclosures in the rocks and trees. The sound of the water, I remember. The shimmering colors of the koi fish, I remember. These things imbued a mystical quality and had a lulling effect which sent my mind into a peaceful state of blissfulness and joy. It was one night that while we were walking home from a Japanese pancake house that I realized where I was walking. It felt as though I had strayed into a dream, but there I was standing with my feet on concrete. We came to a turn on a residential path which crossed through a dark alley. My wife and I stopped when we heard the sound of many little shoes striking the pavement, and we looked around the bend to see what it was. We saw two lines of children in matching white caps, blue jackets, little shorts, and yellow spaceman-style backpacks. I still can't get over those backpacks. Allowing the children the right of way to pass us, I then saw two faces look back at me. These two were little girls, and their faces were the very same faces I had seen in my astral projection that I had years before. I looked up at that moment and beheld the rooftop of a temple under the waxing moonlight. If I recall correctly, I was mesmerized by the experience. A day or two later, I was in audience with a kindly Buddhist priest, who not too long after our talk gave me 9 little children, and I began teaching them English. These children were the same little boys and little girls who had passed by my wife and I in the dark alley the night before. And they were the same children I had seen in my astral projection from years ago. A very spiritual path opened for these children and for my wife and myself included. Aside from English instruction, I believe that we conveyed an interest and compassion for humanity and all the cultures and interest in international ideas. It's a rather long story. But all of these adventures led up to my discovery and my invention of the miraculous prayer board instrument, which my wife and I both believe saved countless lives. But it was not all easy as magic. There were trials and challenges, not only for my wife and I, but for the students we met, for parents, for friends and associates, you know, for people of all kinds everywhere. Many people went through very big challenges during those 7 years that I lived in Japan. But, you know, aside from the work, a spiritual work, I must say, all of the beauty and peace of mind, body, spirit, from my several years in Japan is something I hope to carry in my heart for the rest of my life. And more importantly, I want to share the spiritual power of hope and prosperity with all of my listeners in the world tonight. We need hope. We also need an instrument which can help us work miracles, connect us to the spirit and God that we believe in, and to others in the world, both living and those who have parted with our families for the next life. Let us not forget the dead, for they are still here with us, I believe that the miraculous prayer board is this instrument. And I believe that it is my mission, my task that I've been assigned in life to bring this to the awakening of the world. Else I would not have met good-spirited people like our friend Joshua Warren, Richard Whipple, or come into contact with Dave Schrader, Arison, Maywan, and all of these great people, artist Lady K.A., all of these people who have made this revelation in psionics and this path possible to share with my audience tonight. From the beginning with Doc Albert Abrams to the innovative designs in radionics by Dr. David Tansley and many others, the experiments at Princeton University in the realm of psychic ability and psychokinesis and telepathy. We're entering an age now where we're waking up realizing we cannot rely on the bureaucrats. And so we will take the greatest tools that the greatest minds in the world, the Nikola Teslas, Nikola Bernsteins, the men and women who have studied and practiced the occult teachings and psychic phenomena, and use this to forge for ourselves a better world, to forge destiny and leave the fates behind. Because fate, my friends, is for the passive person. We are not passive. We are explorers of the mystical and the mysterious. Also, I want to take this opportunity to send a message, people, to family, friends, colleagues in Japan. Thank you very kindly for your support and patience, kindness, and thoughtfulness. For my listeners, it is important to understand the extent of this kindness and hospitality shown to me in Japan and in other countries by their people. People I met who befriended me in Japan, for instance, were some of them of an age range that, well, these folks, many of them, were old enough to remember the day that bombs and the big bomb was dropped on Japan. I don't think anyone really showed me ever any hostility or vengeance at all, though some people may have had a right to feel that way. They never did. If we can stop for a moment in our busy lives today to turn off the football, turn off the yelling and blaming on the news, to just meditate for a moment on the message I am sharing with all of you now, all of us together, then imagine for this. Imagine for this moment how much better of a world we could have if more of us could be as forgiving and willing to get along as those people who gave me a chance to be a resident in their cities, a resident in their communities, and walk into their homes. I mean literally, I came into the homes of people who were kind to me, but people, some of them, who had family that remembered the war. I'm talking about World War II. And I was shown kindness and offered their friendship with no strings attached, no agenda, nothing but honest compassion and friendliness. Now tell me, do you want to have a world of war and conflict? Ask yourself this. Or would you like to live in a better world? Well, if you want a better world, it isn't just going to be handed to us. We can do this as human beings, though. The lobbyists and the bigwigs, they aren't going to do this for us. In their world, only money talks. Yes, money and energy. Else we would have that free energy today, would we not? Makes you kind of wonder what really happened to Nikola Tesla and some other outstanding people. Yeah. Yeah, they kill our good presidents. They kill our geniuses. So, I do have some knowledge here, passion and instruments, which can help us on a powerful spiritual, mental, and emotionally powerful level. You know, people often overlook the power of mind and spirit, but I'm sure you realize that this power is real, and it's guaranteed. Nobody can take it away from you. It's not a thing, but it isn't nothing either. It's yours. It's mine. It binds us with a higher cosmic all. It is the truest guarantee you will ever have in your life. I'm talking about the power of spirit. Once you have that, it is yours. It's only that, you know, most of the time, people are not yet aware of the steps that they can take to wield this power and make it truly effective in their own life, and by extension, to the entire planet. You know, I'm here to tell you today that we have this technology of spirit and machines that we call psionics. So, if you're in doubt of the power that you have, I understand, but I ask you to pick up a miraculous prayer board and meditate with us. All you have to do is sit and listen to the sound of your breathing as you allow this blessed instrument to work your energy for you. All you have to do is touch this instrument. Sit with this instrument on your lap and relax and breathe and listen to your breathing. Just 5 or 10 minutes a day to begin. Stop by my blogs and my shop at vriloc.com, V-R-I-L-O-C-K.com. And if you have any questions for me, you know, I answer all public questions personally. Me. If you want to talk to me, here's your chance. Just go to my contact page at vriloc.com/contact and let me know what's on your mind. I would be happy to assist you. We're here to help you realize your potential for spiritual awakening and psionic self-empowerment. So until next time, thank you for joining me on Planet Vriloc Psionics Podcast. And until we meet again, keep the magic high. This is Tom Vriloc, signing out.